It's my pleasure to welcome Pastor Pat to the platform. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Pat as she brings the words for us today morning.
Good morning. Wow, isn't this a great place to be? I just feel like I'm in the right place this morning. God is so good and we bless him. Yes, thank you, worship team. Yes, it's wonderful to stand on a prepared platform where you know that God is exalted and lifted high so that we can come into his presence with confidence. And this morning it's absolutely a wonderful joy for all of us, but John and I particularly, to see little Christian Judah come into our midst this morning. And we welcomed him weeks ago, and it's just wonderful, and it's an absolute answer to prayer, and it's an encouragement that the Word of God says that we never give up, we continue to stand believing that his Word is faithful. And I love the scripture that tears endure the night, but joy comes in the morning, and he is a joy. And we just bless you, Raj and Dorini, as you rejoice with this little one. So this morning, we're here to praise and give glory to God. When asked about spiritual freedom, a little girl said, "Well, that's easy. You go outside and you play and you say, yay." And you know, lots of people think that is freedom. And I don't know whether any of you saw the movie Braveheart, and I don't know that the whole movie was based on fact, but I do know that the end scene is according to history, that Mel Gibson, who played Sir William Wallace, the Scottish patriarch who fought for his country for liberty and independence, he continued to believe, and many people thought that he was just out for his own gain and looking for his own prosperity, but his heart was for liberty and freedom for his country. And before he was killed, they gave him a chance to admit that he was wrong and to seek mercy. And so they said to him, "You have the last word." And with that, Wallace takes a deep breath and he screams, "Freedom! Freedom!" For that's what he believed in. And we know too a true account in our lives of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was called before the courts and called before those in authority, and they called him to denounce what he was preaching. But of course he couldn't, because the truth was he was the Son of God. And you see, he went to an angry, cruel death to bring us freedom. But I want to talk about that freedom this morning, because many today are looking for that freedom. Even Christians are looking for that freedom, but looking for it in the wrong places. Many struggle with change. We all struggle. I struggle with change. I don't like change in the natural. But there must be change spiritually if we're to go and walk in this true freedom. There's a program that was on television for some time. It was called Sea Change. And there was another one about move to the country for change. And you see, these people were making changes and moving out of the city to the beach or to the country, thinking that that was going to bring great things to their life. But many of them, when they got there, found it wasn't what they were looking for. And they started to grumble and groan and say, "We want things the way they were before." Many times people change their employment and they go into a new job because it looks exciting, it's big money. But when they go in, they find that some of the principles of that work is different to what they expected. And they grumble and they want to go back and have what they had before. And so there can be discontent, and there will always be discontent if we don't understand the truth of what freedom is. And I'd like to read to you from Exodus 16, 1-4. Just a few verses, and we know the story about how the children of Israel cried out for generations for freedom. They cried out for someone to come and set them free. And then we know that God called a man called Moses, who had a lot of insecurities and who argued with God and tried to find excuses like we all do, and as we saw in that play that was so well played and depicted, great message, that there's a lot of excuses. And, you know, how dare we argue with this King of Glory, this God? And we heard, saw in the play that he's not always going to be there for us. And so now in Exodus 16, Israel had been freed, but they struggled with their freedom and their new life. And it says, the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, in the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into the desert to strive and to starve this entire assembly to death. And so here they'd forgotten very quickly about what had been given to them, and they forgot about trusting this God who had led them out. They started to struggle with their freedom and their new life. And you see, when something new comes, there is always change needs to take place. But often we struggle with that change. We don't want to submit to that change. We want things the way we want it, or we want things the way they were. We know that God sent Moses to set them free, but now they were no longer slaves, but they didn't know how to be free. And you see, many Christians today do not know how to be free in true freedom. We often think that freedom is when the sun sets free, we'll be seen free indeed, means that we can do as we like, that it gives us a license. And many people go on living their life like that, and then they wonder why nothing's happening and why they're not living in this glorious presence of God and why they're not seeing their prayers answered and they're not seeing change in their life. But we've been free to be slaves, to be bondservants of the living Lord Jesus Christ. But that is the only way for freedom, because he's come, and we heard in communion how Jesus laid down his life. His body was broken in pain and agony, but he submitted to the will of the Father because the Father's love was so great for each one of us. And his desire was that we would live in freedom, because the Father knows that left to our own devices, we will not live in freedom, but we will come again into bondage. The Israelites started to think of their old life and that they'd come to trust. They didn't know how to deal with this freedom. And so many Christians don't know how to deal with this freedom. But it was time for them to leave the past behind and to change and to view things in a different way. If you've made a decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and to follow him, then you need to change. And I know change is hard. I remember change was hard for me. We get set in our old ways. And just one example, when I was raised in a broken, very broken family, and we were raised with a lot of superstition. And when John and I first got married, I was only a baby Christian, and I remember there were a lot of things that I knew that I had to change. But one thing I struggled with, we were taught that if two knives crossed, that something bad would happen. I won't go into the detail to glorify that. And I struggled with that. And if there were two knives on the bench, and it often happens and they'll cross, there was this compulsion, I had to pull the knives apart. And I remember John talking to me about it, and I said, look, I don't want to do it, but it was just a strong compulsion. And so I really prayed about it, and I felt really convicted about it. And one day, I remember it very clearly as if it were yesterday, and it's many years ago now. These knives, in fact, John had actually put them there, and sometimes I wondered whether he'd deliberately done it. But they were there, and I looked, and everything in me wanted to pull them apart. But I cried out in that moment to Jesus, and I walked away, and I was never the same again. Never had that problem. You see, we need to bring Jesus into the situation. And of course, now I know the greater power of the Holy Spirit that I didn't fully understand then. And now it would just be a matter of speaking in tongues and calling Jesus into that situation and knowing that I could overcome all things. But you see, we must surrender and know what this freedom means. And you see, freedom is choice. By our freedom, we've been given a choice, a great choice, to choose life or to choose death, to choose freedom in the way that God's given it to us. We need to let go of anxiety and fear and start to believe that God is there and that he will take away our past, he'll remove us from it if we allow him. You know, there's a song that Johnny Farnham sings, that's freedom. And I actually looked up the words, and you see, they're very much of the world. And so many people think that's freedom. A walk in the dark, a kiss in the park, that's freedom. That's flesh. That's not freedom. That's not what God has called us to live. As we choose God, as we come to church, as we enter into fellowship together, break bread together, come around and worship God, that is freedom. That is freedom. Hallelujah. I've been set free. Jesus has overcome the world. He set us free. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again to the yoke of slavery." And you see, you know, when things are going right, it's so easy to walk in God's will and in his presence. But it's when the things get difficult and hard, that's when we look back. That's when we start to think, this is too hard. Lord, this isn't what I believe Christianity was about. This isn't what I signed up for. I believed that it was just going to be a wonderful life of you and me. And you know, as I've said many times before, that different things come into our lives and we know the enemy's always stalking around. But as Christians, he doesn't have anything to do with us unless we let him. And so often the things that happen in our lives are circumstances that we have brought about by our own wrong choices or some other things of our past that we've not dealt with. And other times there are things that God allows to come into our life because he's growing us and he's wanting to bring us to a place where we'll totally trust him and be confident in him. You know, if we go back into our old ways, we start to grumble like the Israelites and we start to find fault with every little thing and we don't want to move forward. We don't want to grow in the things of God. Even within our own families or in our church life, we start to nitpick and find fault with situations or we don't want this change or we don't want that change rather than surrendering. And it's okay to have an opinion, but that's different to grumbling. To have an opinion about something, and you see, where we know that we're not in freedom and where we're going back into the old is that we make things personal, whereas it's a matter of making a choice of that or that. But you see, if we get back into the old grumbling, we start to make it personal and we start to nitpick and we start to see flaws and things that really aren't there when it's simply a matter of saying what we think and then getting on with it. To be free means that we no longer trust our own mind or the authority of self or the flesh. We need to face up to challenges and see them through God. When we were in Western Australia many years ago, and it seems like yesterday, but it's quite a few years ago now, I was very adventuresome then, and we used to go out into the gorges and for picnics as a church or go for weekends. And we went to this gorge and had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And we decided that they were going to go across over. There was this huge, great, big, very deep, well, it was bigger than a pool, but it was very big and very deep. And there was a rope with a cord hanging on it and you had to swing across on the rope. And I've got a photo to prove I did it. And so I was busily, as I do, I'd been organising the food and so many had gone across and then anyway it came to my turn and I was all gung-ho, I wanted to. But then once I got there and stood on it and the side and saw the spans of this thing, I started to get very nervous. And there's a knot and you put it between your knees and then you grab the rope and you've got to push off. Well, I just froze. All of a sudden it was like too hard. And John's saying, come on, you can do it. Let go, just push off. And it was like, I can't. And someone came behind, they said, if you don't jump, I'll push you. So I let go and off I went. And all of a sudden the fear left. It was so exhilarating. I was flying high right across this thing and I felt like I could do anything. And, of course, when we got to the other side, someone had to grab you so that it stopped and you just didn't keep swinging like a pendulum. But, you see, that's the thing. We are afraid to let go. We're afraid to step off and step into this new change. When we buy into Christianity or when we surrender into Christianity, it's a complete change of life. It's like a complete turnaround. Everything in our life must change. Our attitudes, our thoughts, everything. And we've got to get away from this grumbling. We have to understand that God is a trustworthy God. As I said before, it's freedom of choice. And I love that chorus we sang early today, Brendan. Not to live as we please, but to surrender to his will and his pleasure. We're free. We live in victory. Who the Son sets free will have liberty. And so we've been set free not to do our own thing, but we've been set free to choose the ways of Jesus Christ. And so it's an important thing to ask, have you really been set free? Have you been liberated? Are you choosing the things of God? You know, in the world today, we see there are many, many people, many Christians all over. In fact, I was very saddened to hear of a church in Australia, a very big church, and they've gone through an absolute turmoil and their numbers have halved. And their numbers have halved because people couldn't see eye to eye and they couldn't submit to the authority of the church. And the authority of the church was the word of God. I love this word. It's life. It's life. And my cry today is not to sound off and say how much of this word I know, but to tell you how dependent I am on this word, how dependent I am on the things of God, so that I don't fall short, that I don't make wrong choices. I still make mistakes. I still make wrong choices. But I'm thankful that the moment we come and we confess that to God and ask him, he will cleanse us and forgive us, and we're back in that freedom. It's a powerful thing. Do you know, choice is a very powerful thing. And really, it's only Christians who have a choice. Otherwise, people of the world, sadly, are led off with every wind of doctrine, every new thing that comes along. People will clamour and run to it because they're led to it. They're looking for something, but it's really someone that they need. They need Jesus Christ. And so we see that Christians are making bad choices today. There are many people who would say, I'm a Christian, I'm free in Christ, so that means I can do as I like. I can live with who I like. I can go out and see this and I can go and take part in that. When that's not true, that isn't freedom. That's rebellion. The things of God are there to protect us, to teach us a good thing, to lead us in the ways of righteousness and holy living. In reality, our day-to-day nitty-gritty existence is where heaven meets earth. And so we have a different feeling about life. We need to have a different view about life. We need to have a different view about many things. John and I are absolutely, as with Kayleen and Gary, but speaking from us, are absolutely overjoyed. I've been saying to people we're excited about our third generation. This is our fourth generation that will be born shortly. Four generations. And to know that in choosing that freedom in Christ, of allowing the Spirit of God to turn my life away from all of that, of Jesus Christ standing between me and my past life, then the freedom of Christ has come through to those generations. And we're believing this child will grow as its parents, this little person's parents have grown in the fullness of God and in his holiness. And so the truth is, if you've really met Jesus Christ, and we heard this morning about this broken body that was broken for me, for you, this poured out blood that was shed, then the precious Lamb of God did that for you. You've been made free with him. And the Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Do you know that? Do you know that you're in that place? Do you know the freedom of that place? But do you know the responsibility of that place? Do you know what it means to be totally abandoned to Christ? To be able to walk and sing his praises every day, not just in church? To be able to live in freedom and to live this changed, wonderful life out there in the community? To be a person that other people see a change or a difference in you and ask you the question? To come into this place and to hear things played like it was this morning and to just stand there, how can you do that? How is it that everything in you doesn't rise up to want to meet with this precious, precious Jesus through the Spirit of God? To raise your hands to give him glory. Does he not deserve that? Is he not worthy of that? And that's what freedom is. Freedom is not to choose what you like. Freedom is to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Freedom is to look into his face. Freedom is that these things will grow dim in the glory of his light and grace. Freedom is to walk with him. Freedom is to talk with him. Freedom is to yield to him. Freedom is to love with this unconditional love. You see, even in marriage, we've been married, as I've said before, for 56 years now. I say it very easily and very quickly, but it just seems like a blink of an eye. And over those years, John and I have learned that obviously there is an emotion of love and there's that chemical, as they call it, reaction, whatever. But we didn't have stars in our eyes when we met, but we felt comfortable with one another. We enjoyed one another's company. And I didn't understand what love was, but I certainly did after I married. God taught me about that love. But you see, that love has only lasted because it's been grounded in God. It's been grounded by the Spirit of God. Because underneath all of these feelings and this love, there has got to be this deep commitment. There's got to be that change. There's got to be that freedom. That freedom that we honour and respect one another enough to tell one another the truth, but without agitation or anger, but to simply trust one another to speak the truth to one another in love. And then one yield to the other. And it's not always which one, it's however God calls it. It's learning the things of trusting what the Word of God says about not allowing the sun to go down on our anger, but not to live in that anger, but to rather seek the best for the other rather than ourselves. And so we see that all of the movies and the things that would cry out to us and tell us about this love and this freedom, they're just Hollywood. They're just nothing. We need to really stand in the righteousness that God says that God has made man and woman to come together and become one flesh and then to raise their children in a godly manner. That's freedom. When you're at home with your family and you're praising God or you're sitting around the table giving thanks for your meal, that's freedom. When you're standing in God, sharing about him, talking to people that are broken, that's freedom. When you come to church and you fellowship with other believers and you bless one another, that's freedom. When we stand and we raise our hands and we worship, that's freedom. It's freedom. Don't go again into bondage. Jesus Christ died and rose again to bring us into the new. The new. And there is change, as I said. And change comes. The Bible tells us about justification is instant. But sanctification, that change, that growing, is the work of a lifetime. But we need to be prepared to step one step at a time into that change. And I can guarantee you it's wonderful. It's well worth it. Because we learn what life is really about. We see people today walking, living, breathing. That's not life. Life is rejoicing in praising God. It's freedom. And so we see that Jesus Christ calls us today and says, "Are you free in me?" And only each one of us can answer that in the very secret, deep parts of our heart. Only we know where we are today. And you see, so often if we don't know what this freedom means and we're not really captured by this freedom, then we find it very hard to say no. No is a wonderful freeing word, but it's only as we know our place in Christ that we can come to a place and say, no. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. 2 Corinthians 15, 17 to 18. And so we see that we are new creations. The old has passed away spiritually. We need to live in this new. We need to live that the old is gone. We should not be reflecting the old life. The things that once brought us pleasure shouldn't be the main focus of our delight today. Jesus and his will should be our focal delight. And there is so much, if we only allow him to open our hearts, to open our eyes, to see, life is wonderful. But you see, as we saw on our news, which was very sad about what happened in France, we know things are very fragile today. And so I would challenge you people, do you know where you are today? Because each one of us, and that's not a fear statement, that's a fact statement. There is so much going on in our world today, we really need to know where we are. And like we saw portrayed in that sketch this morning, we need to be ready to hear his voice. But it's only as we enter in, we will be sharp and hear his voice by the Spirit of God. If we allow all these things of the world to clog us up, we will not hear the voice of God. And then when he calls, how dare we not respond? How dare we ask him to wait, the King of Glory, when it could be our last moment? And so we need to take life very seriously. Life in God is wonderful. It's exciting. It's new. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. I was only thinking when I visited with Raj and Doreen and little Christian the other day, and these beautiful eyes of his, and we think with a baby, every morning they wake up to something new. They discover something new. And you see, we're like that. We're like little children, that as we grow in Christ, we discover something new about him, about one another, about this wonderful creation that we are privileged to live in. So this morning, have you been set free? Do you know what it's like to live in this world, this life of freedom, this life without bondage and shame, this life without pretense and glamour, this life that is worthy of the calling that Christ has called you with, so that you will know how to please him with your heart, your mind, your soul and your strength, giving him all the love and the glory. So, Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, for the authority of your word. We thank you that it's your word that touches hearts, Lord, not mine. We thank you, Father, that you have called us, Lord, to walk in the freedom that you have given us, that you have called us not to struggle, not to walk in bondage and fear, but to know what it means to be free. For it is freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again to the yoke of slavery. Lord, we know that things are very subtle and they can creep in very easily, a little bit here and a little bit there. But Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would convict hearts today to look really at their lives, to look at their lives through your lens, Lord, to see exactly where we each are. What it is that we might be struggling is, what it is that holds us back from giving everything we have to you, that we might know this freedom, that we might know this joy and this peace and this wonder of your grace, and that we might give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.